Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Oh, man. Why am I here? Should be in the stands. At the Al. We got Copa America in. I listen to our morning show, man. They love soccer. They got me all hyped up. Love soccer. Love soccer. Danny Smythe is in as the company. Griffin is running the show. Lots of good guest spots today. We're going to talk some football and other stuff in about 15 minutes with the very well-known, longtime NFL journalist, Howard Balzer, coming up. You guys do 3 hours of soccer this morning?
We did not.
What?
I think we did maybe 20 minutes. Maybe
20
30.
Minutes?
30
Copa America's in town!
I know.
What's the problem?
It
doesn't deserve more time?
I'm sure it will once the U.S. plays their second game.
Hmm.
Or maybe tomorrow we'll talk quite a bit because Mexico plays tonight. And if you listen to our show in the morning, Tyler loves to bag on Mexico. So he's hoping that Venezuela comes out big.
All right, build the wall. Yeah, we're watching on TV right now with Ecuador and Jamaica. 3 o'clock start. And I just checked the get-in price. Yesterday you could get in for, I think it was like $57 a piece. 62 went up a little bit, but this is what I've been talking about. And if anyone's driving up to the stadium right now and you see a scalper, tell them, hey, I know what it looks like inside. I'm not paying $200. I'll give you $20 right now and see what they do. But we've been talking about this weird deal around Las Vegas, especially with our bigger venues where the ticket brokers get so many tickets. You go to the secondary market and you see these high prices, then you pay, and oftentimes you walk in and you're like, there's not that many people here. There's probably like 25,000 in the building right now, you know, minus the suites. It holds, what, 57,000 for Ecuador and Jamaica today. So if you're driving over there and you're a little bit late, you can bargain.
Oh, yeah.
And I just looked up on the secondary market, $83 a piece.
Wow.
That's downstairs. So I don't know. I don't even know. You know what? I honestly don't really know how these hub and whatever geeks and all that stuff, how they work. I don't know. Can you just send them an offer? Like, write them a note like, hey, I know what's going on inside. So $83, I'll give you $83 for two. I don't know how it works. Someone text in on that, by the way. Can you bargain on ticket resellers? Is there a back and forth?
I don't know. I don't think there's really like a comment section. But, I mean, if you want to get tickets for a little cheap today, maybe wait until 10, 15 minutes into the game.
It's soccer. That could be the one goal of the game.
It
so
could.
You want to get the hell in there.
Do you want to pay a high price or do you want to take a risk and get a deal?
702-364-1100. 702-364-1100 is the Findlay Kia text line. So all week I've been talking about how crazy this week is in town and out of town. And I had my rankings on Monday. I want to see where Danny is on this. We got NBA draft starting up tonight. Coverage begins on Raider Nation Radio 920 at 4 o'clock. First, I almost said tip, pick is into the 5 o'clock hour. We'll try to track it. We'll try to get the first couple of picks up. And Bronny James, the most heavily bet guy to be the number one pick. We'll get the Bronny here in less than 10. NBA draft tonight, NHL draft tomorrow in town and – no, Friday and Saturday. Let me get that right. So we got Copa America now and Friday. Last night was Commissioner's Cup, and then UFC is in town pretty much from here through the weekend. My rankings in terms of interest, NBA Draft 1, UFC 303 2, Commissioner's Cup last night 3, Copa 4, NHL Draft 5. Do you have an issue with my list? What are you most fired up about with the NBA Draft, UFC, Commissioner's Cup last night, Copa, NHL Draft?
Personally, for me, both of the drafts are going to go to the bottom.
What?
Because I, especially NHL, I don't pay nearly enough attention to what happens as far as international and college hockey. I don't know anything about them. So I wait, see who gets drafted, and then look them up afterwards. Same with NBA. I know a little bit more because I do watch college basketball. It's still the same thing with me as far as international players. I don't really know them. But, you know, I lean on people who have that sort of knowledge and read articles and stuff like that. But for me, the top three in order, it's probably Copa, Commissioner's Cup, and then UFC. Now, if you had asked me 6 to 8 years ago, UFC would have been number one. Everything else would have been miles below. But okay. I, unfortunately, over the last 6 to 8 years, I've fallen out of UFC.
Looking at the coverage, this is always intriguing. This is, what, ESPN's NBA coverage for the draft? Stephen A. is on there. Bob Myers, former exec with the Warriors, who's at Dari Noka, anchoring at least this part of the set. I assume Stephen A. is just kind of speaking in general during the draft. They'll have some experts out there. The coverage is always very interesting because unlike the NFL draft over the years, there is no Mel Kiper of the NBA. And that's a compliment to Mel. Mel can drive you nuts, and I think a lot of times his mock draft is kind of intertwined with agent favors, but I think a lot of people do that. The NBA's never really had that guy for the draft. I think Fran Fraschilla is awesome. He's the international guy, and you got to have an international basketball guy, right? Because the top of the draft is very much international throughout the draft, and then there's guys late first, early second, end of the second, right?
Right.
Draft and stash, and then you're like, wait, four of the top five players in the NBA in 2024 are international players that we poo-pooed, didn't know about before the draft? And that is one of the things about the NBA draft that I find fascinating, because essentially it is closer to the NHL draft and the Major League Baseball draft than the NFL draft. We get to watch football players for 3 and 4 years. Now, no one really watches. You can act like it, but you don't watch the linemen. You're not breaking down lineman tape. You don't know what you're talking about when you're
getting
mad.
Those are special people.
It's so ridiculous. But they're, basically there's a 3 or 4 or 5 year TV show that features and builds names up in college football. The NBA used to have that with college basketball, but it's changed. One and dones have changed everything. Going to camps has changed everything. The international flavor in the draft has changed everything. And again, I don't like to reference, I'm old, but I love the draft going back to probably when I was 14 years old. A friend and I we would hang out on draft night. I was totally into it, doing mock drafts. And, I talked about in the past being a Nets fan, like losing out on the lottery to get John Wall. They miss out. I just sat in a dark room for like an hour. I'm like, this sucks. He turned out to be a solid player, not durable.
A long-term guy.
But I love the draft, but I'll have to admit, over the years, and I love college basketball and I follow it pretty closely, but the international players have changed a lot in this. So hopefully they have a lot of informative stuff tonight. And the great thing is, I think it's a good move by the NBA. They always squeezed both rounds into one night. And then the first round would go so long that the second round, the hardcores would stay around. And then most casuals were like, I don't care. So now they've stretched it out. So now we're going to get the overnight hype, potentially. And here's the thing. They have maybe the best player in recent memory to deliver on that overnight hype. Because you notice on the NFL draft, the NFL draft has this built-in thing now. Quarterbacks are the draft. And then inevitably, whether they're lying or they're stupid, most people who do mock drafts will have way too many quarterbacks in the first round. There's always a couple who are going to slip. And then end of the first round TV show, you're like, whoa, so-and-so that I know, Spencer Rattler, is still on the board. And then you get the overnight hype, and then, hey, best available, and then Spencer Rattler goes 17th round.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go 17th round this year, but he slipped way after day one. Now the NBA is, I think, going to try to capture that a little bit, and then, people can kind of recollect all their information and go, hey, these are international players, college players are underrated, get fired up.
So one of those things, like with this year, the draft splitting into two, obviously, is to get more eyes. However, the time confused me. It starts at 1 p.m. our time, which is 4 p.m. East Coast. People are still working. Who's going to be able to watch that? You either, A, you got to fake like you're working and have it up on the screen.
It's a Thursday.
Or B, you're going to leave work to watch the second round of the NBA draft? I feel like the timing was terrible.
So they screwed it up.
I think they today it's what is it, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock?
A little after 5, I think, is the first pick. Coverage is going to start at 4 o'clock.
Okay, so a little after 5, which is 8 o'clock East Coast.
Yep.
Tomorrow should have been maybe 3 or 4 our time, which is 6 or 7 East Coast.
It's all built for happy hour, Danny, on the East Coast. Get out of work a little early. Throw back some beers. Hopefully the bar you're at is going to turn up the sound. Probably not.
Probably not.
But if Bronny is available going to the second round,
that
is exactly – wait a second. We can bet on this. We'll get to the odds on this in just a little bit. But loaded show today. Caleb Herring's coming up a little later. A lot of UNLV football news. Also, he's got some takes on Stephen A. Smith saying that only certain people can comment on certain stories.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
A couple of hours until the NBA draft goes live. Coverage will begin over on our sister station, Raider Nation Radio 920 at 4 o'clock. Soccer in town, Copa America, Ecuador early goal, 1-0 over Jamaica, 16 minutes into the game. Again, that's over at the Owl. Looks like about 25,000-30,000 in attendance. So, you know, if you're jetting over there, trying to get in, you missed a goal, but still plenty of time left, and we were giving out the secondary market prices. Should I double-check again? Do they dump out once the game starts?
They might drop a little. I know a couple of friends who do it for Golden Knights games. They wait till the game starts and then buy tickets.
Yeah, lowest listed at 88, so they're still trying to hose people outside. So, just know, I'm yelling, if you got the radio on, bargain.
Yeah, my idea of waiting 15 minutes didn't really work out. Goal in the 13th. Terrible.
You tried.
I'm here to help the people out.
So I want to hear – Danny Smith's with us. I want to hear about – you were saying you had a good guest on the NBA draft, and especially about the top of the draft with the international players.
Yeah, we had Kristen Peek on this morning. She writes for Yahoo Sports, and I've actually been talking to her over the past couple of months, probably since late April, early May. And she's actually been over in Europe. She was calling some games over there, and – she's really getting to know a lot of the European players. And as we've mentioned, it's going to be kind of heavy with the European players.
Did she mention anyone specifically?
Not necessarily specifically. She did talk about how Sarr is most likely going number two because, I mean,
He wouldn't work out with the Hawks, right?
No, he avoided them.
Or he really wasn't available to anyone.
Yeah, he told them, hey, I'm not going to work out with the Hawks, so why would the Hawks take him? And, I mean, now he's I believe I just saw during the break he is minus 1,100 to go number two to the Wizards.
Okay.
And that would mean Zachariah Risacher going to the Hawks.
Okay. So was all the Donovan Clingan stuff just window dressing? Clingan, another big, as you mentioned, the number one pick is he's actually a small forward, but Sarr is a big. So was that all smokescreen? Donovan Clingan, the big 7'1 kid out of UConn?
It could be. I'm not really sure.
Are we getting smokescreened the other way?
I mean, I think around any draft, really, there's outside of maybe Wembanyama, isn't there smokescreens with everybody? To an extent.
I mean, the NFL draft's gotten out of control. Yes. There's like waves of different betting trends and misinformation or fake information. I would be shocked if what we've seen so far from Donovan Clingan, who I think is an NBA player, if he was the number one pick. And I also think that this is another really intriguing thing about the NBA draft. If Donovan Clingan was Donovan Kliganovich and never played in the United States, he might be number one. There's something weird in the NBA. I'm not saying they're this rudimentary. But it does, and if he was like 18, right, and whatever he is, 20, there's this thing about mystery that they'll accept.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And development. And the actual positive of, you know, Kliganovich would be that Donovan Clingan would have been playing with men from like age 15. And there is a lot of value. Like it not only does it accelerate the growth for most players, but then you're like, hey, we're getting to see him against 24, 26, 28, 30, 35-year-olds, like, can he handle it? Because that's eventually what he's going to have to be facing in the NBA.
Right, and we saw that with Doncic when he came in. I mean, he's been playing professional for, what, 11 years now? I believe he turned pro when he was 14 or 15, and he's only in his mid-20s, and he's already gotten more than the average NBA player will get in their career.
The draft, it really is crazy. And, you know, things quick developers, you know, late maturation happens in the NFL as well. But I just, it's also funny that Dalton Kincaid, the kid from Tennessee, seems to be a shoo-in to be a top 10 pick 2 years ago. And before that, he was at Northern Colorado.
Yeah.
There are players everywhere. And that's why, and we're going to effort Kevin Kruger in about 25 minutes to pop on with us. And I want to ask him, as a real basketball guy who sees, you know, all of this stuff on the recruiting trail and, you know, is connected, especially with his father's knowledge, you know, to like the last 40 years of basketball. When I hear, especially us media people, some of us, or I'll extend it to fans and are like, this draft sucks. No difference makers. There's a difference maker or makers in every freaking draft. Very rarely. Now, the top 10, there's been top 10s where you look back and you're like, oh, my God. Go back and look at, like, the 86 top 10. And it's just like, you know, poor Len Bias was dead within 2 weeks of the draft. There's multiple guys because the 80s were a big cocaine era. Bias, you know, succumbed to cocaine. Other dudes just had injuries. It was also a time when the bigs were overvalued. Everyone wanted an elite big man, and you just get these slugs who didn't try, didn't work hard, just didn't have heart. That's mean slugs. They just, you know, they got to the NBA, they weren't the biggest, baddest guy anymore. But there have been drafts, and I guarantee I can find you, hey, this draft sucks on multiple drafts over the last 20 years, and it produced someone who turned out to be a Hall of Famer, world champion, superstar.
Well, one of the drafts specifically that I actually heard one of the stations here in town yesterday talking about was the 2013 draft. Local product, Anthony Bennett, went number one. However, later in that draft, you also had C.J. McCollum. You also had Giannis. Giannis went number 15 in that draft. And there's a couple other, you know, household names. I mean, nobody like as big as Giannis, but to say that draft sucks when, you know, one of the top 5 to 7 players in the league right now was midway through the first round.
I don't want to make a mistake with dead or alive, but I'm going to run the risk here. So that 1986 draft, Brad Daugherty was number one. He was a center from North Carolina, had a good NBA career and helped the turnaround of the Cavaliers in that era. Len Bias, as I mentioned, died. Chris Washburn, massive issues off the floor. He was a number three pick. Chuck Person had a pretty good career, had a little infamy in his coaching career. Kenny Walker, solid player at number five, was a dunk champion, but he wasn't worthy of the number five pick. William Bedford, a center, disaster. Roy Tarpley got banned from the league multiple years for drug issues. Ron Harper was a good player, eventually became a monster role player, sixth, seventh man on multiple championship teams. Brad Sellers was not good. Johnny Dawkins at number 10 was a pretty good player, but like you don't recognize any of those names as like all-time greats. That was a draft where it didn't work out, you know? Boy, it was consistently pretty bad. I'm looking down the list too. Actually, one of the best value picks, and I'm sorry, I'm going way back here. The three best value picks were in the 20s. One was Arvydas Sabonis. You recognize the last name?
Yes.
So DeMontis' dad, and Arvydas Sabonis came to the NBA at a late age, but he was 7'4" and was one of the most brilliant passers as a big man in the history of the league. Mark Price was a really good player and also part of that Cavaliers team and Hall of Famer in the first round. I don't think he's in yet, although did he go in? Rodman? People are arguing for him to be a Hall of Famer.
I don't think so.
So there you go. You know, some drafts turn out to be El Flopo, but there's players throughout the draft, and they don't necessarily have to go in the top 10. You can find value everywhere, and we mentioned, you know, the Doncic was right at the top of the draft, but multiple teams gaffed on him, right? Bagley over Luka,
and
Trae Young is good. Swapped for Luka. You mentioned the Giannis draft wasn't a top 10 guy, and then obviously we know the story of Jokic, who I don't even know what it was. I've watched the video. Wasn't there like a McDonald's promo playing as he got picked?
I think so, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and it just showed his little thing at the bottom.
Yeah, that guy. Okay, so the crazy thing on this draft, one, because of lack of knowledge, and it's hard to predict. Lack of knowledge of internationals and hard to predict what college players are going to do. I think the biggest storyline, and I know the storyline that ESPN is going to concentrate on, because all our guys have an opinion on it, whether it's well-founded or not, is Bronny.
Absolutely.
Bronny James, there is a prop bet out there. Where is he going to go in the draft? First round, it's plus 510. Second round is minus 450. Not drafted is 16-1. No one's going to lay the 450, right? In this room, you want to bet minus 450?
No, I would take the 16-1.
You would?
Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, wouldn't that be fascinating if that happened?
I mean, the
wouldn't only, be shocking?
No, it wouldn't. And if you look at, I mean, if you just go surface level, look at his stats, he screams G League or European player.
He's a project.
Yes.
He's an unsigned free agent down the road.
Absolutely.
Based on him, you know, as Bronny Johnson.
Yeah.
Right? If Bronny James changes everything.
Exactly. If you change who his dad is,
yeah.
Or if you even, if he has the same dad and LeBron is at a different point in his career or even retired, he is not drafted. If LeBron had two more years left on his contract, couldn't get out, couldn't leave the Lakers, Bronny James does not get drafted. He gets picked up by somebody, and they hope that they can get LeBron once his contract is done.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Massive week around Las Vegas. Game going on right now in Copa America. Jamaica, Ecuador, it's 1-0. Ecuador, that was an own goal? Yeah, own goal.
Yep.
So 1-0, 30 minutes into the game. We got an NHL draft in town at the Sphere coming up. With festivities really beginning, they start today actually, but Thursday, Friday into Saturday. UFC is in town. Boy, Dana White has been available on a lot of podcast, and he was fired up to go on Club Shay Shay with Shannon Sharp, and they've put out some really good audio clips. And you know, Dana White Unplugged is a really interesting guy. He lives a crazy life.
I'll say
everyone knows he's a high level gambler. He's talked about it before. He sat down and talked about playing blackjack and his dream and how big he wants to play at blackjack. And I've heard he's had some nights where he's been, because he tries to go in, bang, get the hell out of there, a winner. But some nights you go down.
Mm-hmm.
He's had some tumultuous nights, and he's had stories about basically being told get out when he's winning too much. He's got his favorite joints. This was on Club Shay Shay, Shannon Sharp and Dana White.
I told you that I love adversity. I love conflict. I love if I don't have it, I create it.
When you play blackjack, are you playing single hand, or you have the table to yourself, or you at the table with buddies?
I have a table to myself, and I play double deck. And my strategy is this. I want to bet as much as I possibly can in one hand. Let me bet as much as I can. My goal before I die is to bet a $1 million hand.
First of all, can we execute this? Can you play that same cut again and after about 8 seconds, just take it down when he's talking about risk? Because I thought that he's probably talked about this many times. I'm so glad that he, I'll say, admitted this.
I told you that I love adversity. I love conflict. I love if I don't have it, I create it.
Yep,
when you play
awesome.
Blackjack, are
that
you playing
great,
single hand, or you
right
have
there.
The table
We're
to
good.
Yourself, or you will?
If I don't have it, I create it. Conflict. Yes, he does.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Some people thrive on angst and overcoming it, or need to be motivated by conflict and living on the edge. And like, how much would you have to be worth to go, you know what, I'm cool betting $1 million on a hand of blackjack?
$50 million?
What?
Yeah.
Well, then you're a risk taker as well. You were expressing before the show some sort of nerves about doing this.
Oh, yeah.
1/50th of your value, you're cool
Yeah.
Putting on a blackjack hand?
Think of it. If you have a, say you have $5,000 in your bank account, what's 1/50th of that? $100?
Yeah, I guess when it's 50 million, 1/50th feels different than when, you know, you're worth, whatever, $1,000.
Yeah. If I had 50 million in my bank, I would be okay spending $1 million at a casino. Absolutely.
You know, I misstated that horribly. Yeah, 1/50th, I guess, isn't. It's a lot of money.
Now,
million,
if I had
$1 million?
If I had 5 million, no way am I putting $1 million
20%
down.
Of your value?
Not a chance.
Right.
I don't even know if I'd do 100,000.
I don't. I won't even go there. Give me more Dana here. This is a cool part of this, and I want to get this confirmed from some other people, but I hadn't heard this before. We love old Vegas lore here in town, and he starts talking about the cool places in town where, you know, when you get basically an independent owner or a smaller owner who's got, say, like 6 casinos versus a corporation, because a lot of Dana White's complaints are he goes into these corporate places and they're wimps. They won't take risk. Mm-hmm. So Dana mentions, you know, one of the legendary casino groups and families in town.
I don't know if they still allow that. We used to be Binion's down on Fremont, right?
How do you know this? You're absolutely right. It's one of the greatest stories that's never been
told. Yeah.
There should be a movie about Benny Binion.
So, I met his grandson. I wasn't cool with his grandson.
Okay. Well, his philosophy, he was an old school Vegas gangster type dude, okay? Yeah. You didn't f*** around in the horseshoe. You didn't go in there and cheat. You didn't do any of that kind of stuff. And guys would walk in and say, what's the limit? And he would say, your first bet is your limit. How gangster is that?
Yes. Whatever you could pay, whatever you put down, he cover it.
Whatever your first bet is, that's your limit.
What a way.
You want to come in and think you're going to test me and intimidate me? Or get me to go, whoa, we can't take that much. If true, we can take feedback on the text line, 702-364-1100. That is a pretty cool approach. All comers,
awesome.
Come on in. We'll cover it.
That is awesome. Because chances are, whatever your first bet is, your quote-unquote biggest bet you can do, chances are you're not going to repeat that too many times.
Oh, no. They went on. Oh, you mean keep going at that number?
Yeah.
Eventually the house will get you?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a great way to operate.
I mean, Dana White did mention that he had multiple 16-0 runs on blackjack. And
yeah.
That those are the times he got... Basically got told, he mentioned the palms, but he got told that's enough.
Yep.
Limits lower. Get the hell out, basically.
They lower his limit to 5,000, which for a lot of people, it's like, wow, that's a lot of money. For Dana, it's not worth this time.
ESPN Las Vegas Summer of Fun is back. It's brought to you by Planet Nissan. We're giving away 8 trips in 8 weeks. This is week 2. The trip this week is Nashville, 6 days, 5 nights to Nashville. You get spending cash, or you can just take the overall cash buyout. All you got to do is text in. Every day we have a new code word, 702-364-1100, 702-364-1100. Today's code word for the trip, the Summer of Fun, brought to you by Planet Nissan, hotel, 702-364-1100. Make sure you include the 702, hotel.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Danny, did you go to the softball game last year with the Raiders and the Knights?
I did not.
Okay. You remember the story of Nate Hobbs getting whacked in the head because he missed a fly ball?
I do remember that.
Did you hear part of the crew that's playing includes Jose Canseco and Ozzy Canseco? I mean, talk about taking... a little risk being out on the field if you're not really a softball player. Let's get into this briefly and then the NBA draft. Wanted to preview the NBA draft with a guy who played a lot of professional basketball. His father coached in the NBA. He's been around a lot of NBA players, developed guys. Head coach of the Runner Rebels, Kevin Kruger, is here with Cofield and Danny. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well, and I would love to hear more about Jose Canseco in a charity softball game.
I actually wanted to ask you, I don't know if you played baseball, did you?
I did growing up, about midway through high school.
At this age, would you play third base but also on the grass with Jose Canseco at the plate?
Third? Absolutely not.
No, I was like, what are they doing? Last year, Nate Hobbs got crushed by a freaking can of corn. They're going to put professional athletes out there who may not truly be infielders?
Absolutely not. No. then I don't nearly have the contract that those guys have.
It's a good point.
There was actually a promotion, I believe it was last season, if not the season before that, Jose Canseco was out at a Las Vegas Lights game, and at halftime, he was hitting softballs into the fan, into the stands.
Why would they do that?
I have no idea.
Have you, Kevin Kruger's with us, have you thrown out a first pitch? I think you have, for sure. I'm pretty sure.
I have. I've actually thrown out a couple. I think I'm yet to throw a strike, so it's the, hitters count when I go out and throw it at the end of this month.
Okay. So I want to lean on your expertise, because we all think we're experts on Sports Talk Radio. You know that. You get wind of what we do. One of the things that's always irked me about the NBA draft, and I'm not an expert, but I watch college basketball, which is kind of key to talking about the NBA draft, is I hate when people are like, hey, there's no franchise players. There's no good players in this draft. And I'm always like, they may not nail the great players at the top of the draft, but what do you think as a basketball guy, a savant, when you hear people criticize a potential field of like hundreds of players to select from?
Yeah, I think it's that when you have a draft, because I'm assuming you're referring to this year's draft.
Yes.
And I think when you have as many international prospects, it's just always going to lean that way. Yeah. And then sometimes on top of it, they're drafting international prospects that are younger. So then when you combine that with the unfamiliarity and bring them over here and they're 19 or a little, getting used to the NBA game and the speed of it and the size and the pace, then, it looks like it's just very misleading. Or can be.
On NBA talent evaluator, say you're a personnel guy, and we can't apply this specifically to like every case, but what would you value more? A 19-year-old international player who's been playing some sort of pro ball since they're like 15 or 16, or a 4 or 5 year U.S. college player?
Yeah, I think, I'm going to try not to give you the political answer, but, it just depends on your roster. Even in this year's draft, you've got a guy like Trae Young. You've got, there's a lot of reports lately about Donovan Klingon maybe being up there in disgust and Sar dropping or this, that, or the other. And I think that's just because the roster of the Hawks maybe not – isn't just as glaring, where it's like, let's just take the best talent or the most talented or the best prospect and we'll try to build around them, because you do have a guy that's as ball dominant as Trae Young is in your point guard spot.
Do you think the league is going to do a little philosophy switch because of Jokic, and there may be some more value on, I'm not going to say the true like lumbering big, but is there a chance people want the big more because they know one of the elite teams is built that way?
I do think we're going to start seeing, not just Jokic, but when you talk about Wembanyama, Sar and his team actually worked out in Mendenhall last summer. So, I got a chance to see him for a little bit, stand next to him. Guys like that are just so tall, and their wingspans are just, so much longer than everybody else's. I think we could see a little bit of a shift. When KG and Kobe were drafted, there was the high school rush, and then when Dirk and those guys were drafted, there was a European kind of rush of draft picks. And I think this is going to be pretty similar.
I don't know how much you talked to Carlin Hartman, an assistant. You guys were together at Oklahoma. Did you see their 7-foot-plus recruit? Checked in, Olivier Rieu, checked in at 7'9", 290.
Yeah, I talk to Carlin every few days and have since pretty much the day we met. I saw him last summer. He was actually on two summers ago, he was on the Adidas circuit with DJ. So we were following DJ around everywhere, and he actually played against him. And, he's tall. He is really tall.
Yes. But here's the thing.
He moves really well for that height.
That's what I was going to say. Watching him run the floor and then mobility in the paint, he can move. And it's very intriguing because, I think you could use him for minutes at a time until, maybe he develops even more. But just being around the rim, because he doesn't have to jump. You throw the ball up on the glass. It's like, San Diego State philosophy, but it's not, Billy White or Malcolm Thomas attacking the glass. It's a 7'9" guy who can just go on his tippy toes and tip the ball around.
Well, and Todd Golden comes from he coaches a very specific, that's very hard to guard and very hard to score against. He kind of has a very specific philosophy, and protecting the rim is one of those main, one of the main points. So, you know, a 7'9" guy, seven, whatever, I mean 7'6" or above doesn't really matter. I mean, a guy standing that close to the rim, that's going to deter and distract a lot of shots. So, you know, he might be able, if he can, you know, can keep up with the speed of the game, I think he might be able to make an impact.
Just to go back on the international players coming into the NBA draft tonight and tomorrow, what was one of the things that you noticed that was different from playing in the U.S. versus playing overseas, whether that's the game itself or how teams and players prepare for their games?
Oh, wow. I mean, how much time you got? It's a very different structure. And you know, the U.S. game in not in a bad way. It's kind of structured more around the entertainment. You know, we eliminate rules that slow the game down or stop the game. We eliminate rules that help defense. You know, it's kind of like the NFL.
Yep.
You know, that make it really hard to play defense, and that's why those guys are so elite, the good ones. And the European game, I don't think they don't. They're not driven by that. While they have done a handful of things, you know, becoming a 24-second shot clock, advancing the ball, different leagues in different countries, of course, do have a fragment or a fraction of that. You're going to see a lot more sets over there. You're going to see the ball touch a lot more hands. You're going to see you have a lot more picks. I mean, if you really want to watch some great actions, some great ATOs after timeouts, while the NBA has them too, there's a lot of teams over there that run a lot of really good stuff. I do think they're just raised in Europe to kind of be more in that direction, where it's expected to run plays, you're expected to know plays, you're expected to, how to share the ball and win. And I think here, and rightfully so, we have just a little more emphasis on the athleticism and the speed. And that's kind of what our game growing up is more directed toward.
It's Kevin Kruger on Cofield and Company, head coach of the Runnin' Rebels. You can get your tickets soon at UNLVtickets.com for the upcoming season. A couple of things to clean up. I don't know how much you confirm about the non-con, but a lot of reports out there about a tournament in Arizona that will include you. Can you give us more details on that? We know the field. I was under the impression you guys might be opening against Butler. Now there's reports it could be Mississippi State. Do you know who you're opening up against?
I don't. I was actually under the same impression you were. It was kind of hinted that it was going to be Butler. I got a couple texts asking to confirm if it was Mississippi State, and I said, I guess it must be true if you guys are asking me. But the people that run it have been great to us. We just don't really bother them too much. We just, you know, when whoever they tell us we're going to play them, and it's a really good field either way.
And that's a crazy week of college basketball because that's Thanksgiving week, and then meanwhile, I think four of the top five or six teams in the country in the rankings are going to be playing here in Vegas while you guys are out of town, including that NIL tournament. Any feelings about the NIL tournament? And I see teams getting invited for 2025. I put it out a couple months ago. I was like, I don't know. Be nice to have the Rebels in it. No, hometown team.
I agree. No, we would absolutely love to be in it. We would love to be considered, stay home. Oddly enough, there are some conference hurdles that we have to get over in terms of TV rights and what has to be approved and what doesn't. But at the same time, we'd love to play as many games as we can, whether it be Thomas and Mac, T-Mobile, Lee's Family Forum. We've had great support in all those places. So, yeah, we'd love to be a part of it. And then, of course, you saw Baylor got out of Maui and went toward the NIL tournament. So, I don't know if Maui's going to change what they're doing. I mean, they're the premier Thanksgiving week tournament in the country. But on the same notion, I think that's now that cat is out of the bag, there's going to be a lot more in that direction.
Kevin Kruger's with us. Cleaning up another order of business. I saw another website reporting Keelan Boone eligible transfer portal. And, I was talking about this last week. I know you talked to Mike Romala at The Sun. I mean, the key issue here is Keelan actually eligible. You guys are following this. You guys have been following it for a while. You talked to Keelan, if I'm correct. Is he eligible? What's the process here?
Yeah, I've talked to Keelan. I've talked to our compliance. You know, it's just kind of there's really not a lot of new information. We were told that he was out of eligibility at the time when we made roster decisions. Nothing has been brought to me that's different. And I want to be very clear, if Keelan is able to get another year and he is to pursue it somewhere else, I'd be his biggest fan and his biggest supporter. But, you know, we could only go on the information we had. He only fits one of the current criteria. So that's going to be the decision, and a very interesting one at that, that the NCAA makes. Is that you have to fall into? Do you have to have all of the criteria, or is it one, or is it two, or where's the cutoff? Because Keelan did play 27 or more games in five seasons, so we'll see. But like I said, we've got our roster. If there comes a day where he is granted another year, we'd love to talk to him. But if not, and he goes somewhere else, or if he decides to stay somehow, then we'd love to have him. He's a great, great person, great teammate, and he had a really good finish to the year last year, which he could carry over into next year.
Kevin Kruger's with us. What'd you do for Father's Day, or what did they do for you on Father's Day?
We did nothing. We stayed around the house.
Come
we
on.
Swam. It was awesome. It was an absolutely perfect Father's Day, and I got to spend time with the kids and the wife, and we took the kids over to see my dad, and he got to see him for a little bit. So yeah. I think in both of our books, it was a pretty good day.
Yeah, my screaming, come on, was kind of misplaced. Sometimes just not doing anything is just, let me relax. That's a good Father's Day. You guys were pretty active. I think it was just last week or so. Kevin Kruger's with us. Did the team get involved in a charity deal delivering beds or something like that?
Yeah, Build-A-Bed program, which we weren't – I think we were out of town and had guys out of town at the time that they were being built. But this past Saturday was the delivery date. So we had, I think, seven or eight guys go and help deliver the beds. And we as coaches were in a recruiting weekend in Phoenix. But guys carried the torch for everyone and did a great job. And we got nothing but great feedback on that they were engaged, involved, helpful, and that was just great to hear and great to see, because this is a good group, and it's a good group of guys, and so to hear that they were doing that and representing the program well it made me very proud.
Is it a coincidence that a guy nicknamed Bear was part of the process? I assume he had, like, you know, enough material for like seven beds on his back.
Yeah, Bear's a big dude. Bear's a big dude, and he could move a lot of beds. And he probably wasn't asked by accident.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we'll talk to you soon, Coach. Hopefully, over at the summer league, and we think non-con schedule. Hopefully, what inside of a month here, we get to find out.
Yeah, we've got all our games out to legal, so we're hoping we could release it and release some really fun ticket packages along the way, because I think we got a really good non-conference schedule, a really good opening slate that'll be a lot of fun for the city. So hopefully we can get that done so we can get them out and get people buying them as soon as possible.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.